make your baby coo.
Chuck and Don.
Dunn's pressure for us on a foggy Tuesday morning. Good morning to you, Dunn.
Good morning. Thanks a lot there, Chuck. And 8:45, we're scheduled to have Kevin Brubaker, Deputy Director of Environmental Law and Policy Center in Chicago. We'll visit with him for a few minutes. Our sports feature at 9:15 is with the Adams County Speedway and the spotlight on a driver. And from Heartland Oncology and Hematology in Council Bluffs, Dr. Warner still gone on vacation. Dr. Okerblum will be filling in. He'll be on the road. We'll be talking with him later this morning about 9:40. But this morning we have Lee Kessler on the line with us this morning. He's the author of White King Rising, The Mind of Terrorist, and Actress is Accidentally Predicting Terroristic Scenarios. And Lee, good morning to you.
Good morning, Don and Chuck. It's good to be with you.
Thank you very much for being here with us. Before we get started talking about the White King Rising, Lee, give us a little background and your background on our listeners, okay?
Well, my background, of course, I've been in television and film actress for 35 years now. And I ended up, after 9/11, making a career change that I didn't expect when I spotted and figured out some things that our real-life enemy is doing to us inside our country, and started to write stories that would help Americans understand a bit about why we've become so divided and why the debate has become so harsh on so many issues and how to win. So I have now turned more into novels and fiction and moved in that direction.
Lee, how did you, as an actress, get involved in figuring out what Al-Qaeda may be doing?
Well, I was very concerned, as I think most Americans were, after 9/11. We were united for a while, and then we started to divide, and the division became so hostile, and the level of the debate so angry, that I realized that that had to be something being done to us. And so I decided to use my background as an actress, where I've had the privilege along the way of playing real people many times, to do a precise kind of acting analysis, and I decided to do it on a real person and the actual mastermind of Al-Qaeda. The Israelis had told us it was the Egyptian psychiatrist Ayman al-Zawahiri. And unlike our government that went down the path, or media of going down the path more of looking at a category of radical Islam or terrorists or Al-Qaeda, I said it all is going to emanate from one person. So I decided to see if I could figure out what his driving motivation was, because if I could, then I could predict what he would do with his group and then what that group would do. And then as I did that and made notes on it, I started to see those things coming true, if you will, or manifesting in our society, and I realized I had him.
Mm-hmm. Some of these predictions have been pretty accurate. I'm sure you've been getting calls from the government, correct?
Well, yes, I've had counterterrorist people and intelligence people and all kinds of people, you know, as blatantly saying, you know, what were you in the cave with bin Laden when this was going on? I mean, and they want to know how I could have, without being deep inside the intelligence community, have been so very, very accurate, as my stories are playing truer almost than the facts.
All right. You've made the comment that Osama bin Laden may well be in Iran. Now the press is kind of on that trail. How did you come to that conclusion?
Well, it seemed clear to me that these guys, in order to have escaped us, would be doing what the Nazis did, and that was to hide in plain sight. So I simply used some basic military strategies that people would know about. I don't have to be a military genius to do it, but I said if he were going to hide in plain sight, where would he go? And bin Laden is under the control of Zawahiri. He's the mastermind. He's called second in command, but he's actually the mastermind. And so I realized that it would be likely in my research that they could move him to Iran and we would not see him. In other words, he wouldn't be on our radar screen because we don't have eyes on the ground there, as well as we developed in Afghanistan. So I think all these guys have been hiding in plain sight, except the commanders that they left that we've caught and killed or captured.
All right. Some of the real-life scenarios that are strikingly similar to events in your book include, in Latin America, the opening of your more recent book, White King Rising. Latin America became a new staging ground for terrorist cells seeking to use the advantage of geography and border. Gosh, where did all this insight come from? I mean, this is really pretty incredible when you delve into it.
Well, I started with the premise that someone was going to attempt to take us down from within, given the division that I saw. So I simply asked myself the question, if one were going to do that, how would they go about doing it? And where would they go? And when you ask yourself questions like that, you start to just lay out some imaginary possibilities. See, that's the thing that an artist brings to the table is creative imagination. And America was accused of lacking imagination before 9/11. And so I said, well, if I just take my imagination, how would we be brought down from within? Where would they go? So the what, who, and the why of all the mystery and the suspense of my novels came up out of my simply asking myself those questions and then laying out a plausible scenario. And then if I saw actual signs of it in my research, I said, okay, maybe on it here, let me flesh it out some more. And it seemed evident to me when we wouldn't close the borders that there was a greater threat in closing the borders than there was in leaving them open. I said, well, what could that threat be? And when I looked, I said, oh, suppose they're restaging in that area and that Venezuela and Cuba and so on are complicit here. So that is, in fact, the opening chapters of White King Rising, and I had a general do a pre-read on the book, a retired general by the name of Paul Vallely, and he called and said, oh, my Lord, he said, this is brilliant. He said, I'm getting this out, if you don't mind, to some military people I know right now, Lee, because I think you've nailed it, and we're not looking there. It's a diversion.
Okay, interesting. And before White King Rising came out, the book before that, White King and the Doctor, correct?
Yes, that was the first one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And is there part three coming up? We've got a theme going on here, Lee, with White King.
Yes, absolutely. Because I'm dealing with Generation Y. It's my profound belief that that generation is the one that's targeted. They will be the ones that save us, if you will. And in White King Rising, the two young heroes, a boy from the hood and another boy, a grandmaster chess champion, figure out how to defeat Zawari. And I thought I was done because the solution to how we win and how we restore our culture and some of the attacks that have occurred within education and religion and family and so on are all in there. But in book signings, it became evident that there was one question yet remaining relevant to this Trojan horse that's been placed inside the United States. So there is a third book that's going to happen. It'll be the trilogy of the White King, yeah.
Very good. And let's see if I have the correct email, website for our listeners, whitekingrising.com?
Yes, that's the best place to go to learn more about both books.
Fantastic. Lee, thanks for sharing time with us this morning and continued success. Fascinating, fascinating topic, and sure glad you were on the show with us.
Well, I appreciate being here, and you have a great day, guys.
Thanks, you too. Lee Kessler here on KMA at 828.